No, sorry.
Don't be awkward. Welcome, Cotty. Guys, we're back. We're back.
I'm so excited.
We have a very special guest. Maybe I'm most excited most about excited. You, of all of our guests.
No, come
yeah,
on.
Because,
I swear to God.
Because we discuss beauty and skin and just like health, and but mostly like beauty.
I mean, skin.
Treatments. Skin.
Yeah, it's what the thing, one thing we can control besides our weight. So we talk about skin and weight a lot.
I think we do. But so we discuss things that we have been told or our experiences, but we're not experts. We're not doctors like you.
Okay.
So today we have Dr. Nancy Semolaitis.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
That's correct. Okay. Good job.
Yay.
Semolaitis?
Yes, that's why Semolaitis. My patients call me Dr. Sam, so yeah. They don't have to stumble over Semolaitis.
What is the background of your last name?
It's Greek, actually.
It's Greek.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Whenever I go to Europe, people think I'm Greek. But yeah. When I'm here, people just think my name
are
sounds
you,
like
are
a
you
disease.
Greek?
Or a disease.
I have Semolaitis.
That is it, sounds
but
viral.
Are you married?
My husband's last name is Meyer.
Oh.
And so I couldn't change my name because I didn't get married until I was 37.
Okay.
Oh.
And I'm the only Dr. Semolaitis in the world. So
yes.
How could
oh,
I
dope.
Be?
Are you really?
Yeah.
I couldn't be Nancy Meyer because she's
oh my gosh.
A movie producer.
No, that's actually interesting. And we've discussed this a few times, whether to take the last name of your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually love not taking it. I think it's because it's who you've always been.
Right, right.
Your whole life. But then when you have kids, I think then it becomes something. But even now, if I had to do it again, I probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I always thought I wanted to change my name because people would mispronounce it or stumble over it. And now I've embraced it.
Semolaitis.
Yeah. I like it.
Semolaitis. I'm never
going
to forget that now.
Dr. Sam Nancy, our friend Nancy, is the owner of Facile, which is would you call it a medi spa? Or is it more of like just a dermatology practice? Like what would you call it?
When I first decided to open Facile, I wanted to be the anti-medi spa.
Yeah, okay, sorry. My apologies.
No, it's okay. I'll explain.
Yeah,
explain. You know, I mean, I've worked in many dermatology practices with other derms and my mentors and so forth. And the sort of explosion of medi spas, you know, really, unfortunately, kind of drew down the caliber of people who are performing some of the procedures we do.
Because there's not always an actual derm there, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of different, you know,
physician assistants.
Well, physician assistants, nurses, nurse practitioners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In some states, estheticians can perform all the procedures I perform. It's kind of a shame because when I trained, this was truly like a subspecialty of dermatology.
Yeah.
And we did the studies and
we
created the techniques and we developed the lasers. And now it's kind of like everybody's game.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because of healthcare is changing a lot and a lot of doctors are disgruntled.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether they're like an ER doctor or a gynecologist, they're like, I think I'm going to open a med spa.
Wait, what's a med spa?
You know,
well, I think you're right.
I think there is a misconception
with that because I think maybe when they first started, when that term first was kind of coined, there might have been more.
It was like plastic surgeons and dermatologists.
Cosmetic dermatology.
Like, we're going to create this spa-like atmosphere for our medical procedures.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But then it's become kind of this like corner place where you can pop in. I call it fast food medicine. A lot of these places now that are med spas that are just doing injectables, and you come in and you're like, oh, I'm gonna have one of those and two of this, and they just do whatever you want.
Supersize me. Do you do actual like body like body checks like what a full derm would do?
Oh, I sure do. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, at Facile we don't bill insurance, so we are out of network for any like medical type of.
So some people who may want to try and bill insurance maybe wouldn't come to you for that.
Correct.
Okay.
But I also actually work one day a week in an office in Long Beach where I've been practicing since 2008 when I moved
here. I just
saw
that. I Googled you. I was looking for your bio, and I saw that. I was going to ask you about that because it looks like a current picture.
Yeah.
So you're there one day a week?
Yeah. So I started, I joined the owner of that practice when she first opened in Long Beach in like 2010.
Yeah.
And I just have a lot of patients there. And even though I opened Facile and we have two locations, I still go there on Mondays.
Where's your second location?
In Pasadena.
Oh, amazing.
Where's your first one?
West Hollywood.
Melrose Place.
Or, well, Melrose Place. Yeah. Technically, it's City of Los Angeles. Yeah. But
got it.
Feels like
but
West
wait,
Hollywood.
Okay, okay. So you can get regular derm stuff taken care of at your West Hollywood one,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it just, you're just
there
out
are
of pocket.
Some things I don't do there, like surgeries. If you have a cyst you want to have excised, mm-hmm. or yeah. A skin cancer. Yeah. We do biopsies. I freeze stuff off. Yeah. I can do your skin check. Yeah. We see rashes and acne and... you know, a lot of medical stuff that requires prescriptions.
I had like Papa John work on my nose.
What'd you say?
A huge scar on my nose.
What would you do?
I had like Papa John do my nose.
Papa John?
What? Yeah, pretty much.
Who's Papa John?
This dermatologist I went to, and they
what
just
happened?
Like. Okay, so I had a spot
I'm
on my
unclear
nose.
On your.
Okay, I had a spot on my nose right here, and I thought it was like one of those raspberry. You know those like.
Oh, a cherry angioma.
Like those.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so what I thought
those?
It was that,
it was
but then I
a
like
fibrous
picked
papule.
It. Hopefully. Yeah. So anyway, I picked it and then it wouldn't stop bleeding. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to bleed out. Okay. So like all night I was like, ah.
All bleeding stops, by the way.
Eventually, right?
Eventually.
And so then I went to this derm and they're like, we're going to biopsy it. And I was like, oh, fuck. And so they biopsied it. If you've ever had a shot in your nose, it's awful.
Yeah, sorry.
It's dreadful.
Sorry, everybody.
It's so painful. I've never heard a doctor or nurse go, this is really going to hurt. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So they numb your nose, and then they take a biopsy.
Yeah, shave it off.
Shave it off. Mm-hmm. And now my scar is so bad.
Oh.
On your nose? Huh. I've never noticed it.
Well, because I wear Dermablend on top of it. I wear powder
and
on top
came
of
back,
it.
I'm assuming, fine?
It did, although...
What? But you don't know, you don't trust Papa John?
Probably something called a fibrous papule, based
what's
on
that?
Your description.
Yeah.
A little benign. I actually have one. Like right here.
Look at yours. It's non-existent.
Oh, you're like,
it's
oh, right here.
I've actually burned mine off a couple of times.
Can you burn them off?
You can. They usually grow back if you burn them off.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, you know, I often will biopsy them just because sometimes I'm wrong. Like I look at something and if it's a high risk area, somebody with fair skin, something growing, bleeding on your nose, like that's...
Yeah,
it's everything.
Could be a skin cancer.
It's worth a
gander.
But the biopsy should be just the tiniest little shave.
Yeah.
So
there's a Band-Aid involved.
We try to
what are the other things she was talking about, the little red things
mentioned?
Oh,
cherry angiomas.
Where do those come from? Because you have a few of those.
Yeah.
I have a big one on my leg. Well, I'd have to take off my pants to show you, but I will.
Those are genetic.
They're
okay.
Yeah.
I'd say most people have some of those.
As you get older, you get more.
Yeah.
So
I
not
think
really
it is genetic because my grandfather had a ton.
Yeah.
Not caused by anything specific.
No.
Not like
they're
special,
literally
every
normal.
Every time I got pregnant, it would be like, phew.
Yes.
And then another one. Phew.
Hello.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can we just.
What about skin tags? I had a skin tag removed, like, I would say 10 years ago, and it's starting to come back. Is that just kind of what happens?
Where is it?
It was like under my arm.
Okay.
You can cut those.
It was, but I wonder, like, if it just needed to be cut deeper.
Yeah. Oh, you mean do it yourself?
Oh, no,
at
no.
Home?
You
can do
now. No, it would, it's like more like almost now, like, part of the, like, it's just raised. It's not like a skin
yours
tag that you want to rip
maybe
off.
Maybe like a mole that
maybe.
Got raised.
Yeah.
And so sometimes they just get more kind of like a fleshy.
Does it look like that?
Mole. And
by the end of this, we're going to be
this
naked.
This is so gross.
By
I'm
the
like,
end of this, we're going to be naked and be like, look at this.
I thought
this.
We were going to talk it's about like, beauty.
We are.
No, but a skin tag is like a sort of a generic term that sort of refers to some sort of fleshy thing that, you know, is sitting on top of the skin.
But do they grow back when you remove them is what I'm wondering.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Usually if it is truly a mole, because a mole actually has nested cells that are kind of under the skin. So when you take
that
off
makes sense.
The fleshy part above, then it recurs.
Got it.
A skin tag that's just like a piece of skin, like truly like a flap of skin, when you take it off, it doesn't come back.
I'll have to show that to you at some point. So wait, so on Mondays,
we're going to be here all night.
In Long Beach, you're doing more of the strictly derm stuff.
Yeah, I see a lot of Medicare patients there. I see a lot of like acne patients there.
That's
we do
so cool.
Accutane and stuff. Yeah.
Ooh. So. Have you ever done that on yourself?
No.
Accutane?
I've never really had acne.
Blessed.
Yeah.
You have good skin.
Yeah, you do.
Thank you. It's my job.
My job
to have good
so
skin.
So have you always, so when you became a dermatologist, your intention was to sort of get into the beauty space and the anti-aging space?
Actually, no.
Okay.
Because when I was in med school, that wasn't really a thing.
Yeah, okay.
I actually really like dermatology because it's a, I mean, it's, of course, everybody, you know, knows it's a better lifestyle than mm-hmm. certain other specialties.
For sure.
But I yeah. kind of liked everything.
Emergency. And,
I mean, I enjoyed everything about medicine. Yeah. But dermatology is really a nice mix of medicine, surgery, procedures, mm-hmm. but not in the operating room. Yeah. That sort of diagnosing people like, oh, my hair's thinning. And I'm like, oh, it's a thyroid problem.
Oh, wow.
So all, I guess you're like right. There's a lot of like a mix of all of medicine. Like psychiatry is yeah. involved.
You, oh, wow.
Some people do pediatrics.
Oh, yeah. Psychiatry's involved. Well, no, oh, for picking and pulling.
There's mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, yeah. skin mental gotcha. Stuff that is. Sometimes
related?
I'm like a psychiatrist a
oh,
little bit.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, by the way. Yeah, and then there's pediatric dermatology.
Yeah, which
well.
I don't do. It's yeah. not my favorite
well,
thing.
That's a wash.
Yeah, what? Why is that? Why is it so different?
You know, kids just get different stuff.
Okay.
Like, they get different rashes. Like, yeah.
And it's like there's no solution to it. Well, I mean, it's like trial and error, but kids well, just pop up with stuff. And you're
I
just
mean,
like,
there's a whole separate fellowship.
That's fascinating.
After dermatology
yeah.
residency that is for pediatrics. Uh-huh. And if somebody asked me to look at a rash on their baby, I'm like, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because I don't do it regularly.
Yeah.
So.
That makes total sense, by
you
the way.
You and I had like yeah. a season of rashes together. Not on us with our kids.
Yeah.
I'd
yeah.
be like roseola, maybe?
Yeah. And then it's like, and then the 2 seconds later, it's gone. You're like, well.
And Sam's always so calm. I'll send her a picture. She's like, oh, yeah. Wait, let me get it. I got it. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And then she'll send me one. She's like, I mean, I'm not freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, it's so bad.
Every girl that I know, mostly, like, I'm sure you see men, but a lot of women I know that look amazing, and I'll be like, who do you go to? And it's always you.
Oh, really?
It's always you.
Oh, amazing.
And I remember when I called, this must have been before the pandemic, and I was like, who, you know, I want to see Dr. Sam. They're like, well, everyone's good. I think they wanted to, like, you know, kind of
yeah.
go. But I was like, no, but everyone talks about you. I'm sure you have amazing other, you know, I don't know if you have yeah. other doctors working with you or what. I'm sure you have an amazing team.
Yeah.
But I was like, I want her. And then I don't know what happened. Maybe the pandemic happened, but I had called to come see you. And but for years after, I hear how incredible you are.
Aww.
And how people will never go to anybody but you.
Oh, shit, now I want to go to you.
Yeah, no, she's like, you don't understand. So nice. She's like a big deal. Like she's like the best.
You're
like
making me blush. Am
no,
I blushing?
But you're like the best in the game. You're like, I mean, literally, and I do my homework, and I definitely.
You do your homework
tried
in this space.
A lot of different people, yeah. yeah. And I actually used to go to a derm for the Botox. Now I go to, you know, I've tried different things, but it's not an easy thing to navigate. It's sort of trial and error, but
yeah.
I'm just like, I'm so excited to have you on because I've heard rave reviews
Aww,
about you.
Well,
wait,
thank you.
Do dermatologists do Botox, I guess?
She does it all.
Yeah.
You do it all.
And she's got lots of lasers.
Mm-hmm.
Never done anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. You'll get a full. And so Lauren, L.E.K. It's,
oh, who, is this?
Who? So I feel like I'm Lauren's ambassador yeah. for L.E.K. and she's kind of our ambassador for the podcast because she's such a big supporter.
And she is.
She's always, weighing in on different things. So she was like, the other a few weeks ago you were there and she
yeah.
was like, you have to have her on. And I was like, yes, please. This is amazing.
Well, we were just standing in the studio like talking
yes.
about all these different treatments.
Yes,
and I'm like,
Lauren,
oh, we should do that
Lauren
here.
Lauren goes to her husband for years.
Yeah.
And so I've also talked to Lauren about you quite a bit. And so, yeah, that's sort of
do you do Lauren's Botox?
Sort of how it all happened.
Of course.
Yes, of course. She's the only one.
I mean, I feel like I can't take that much credit about like how Lauren
yeah.
looks because I'm just like maintaining. I'm just maintaining
yeah.
her.
She's like dripping in sex.
Dripping in
she
sex.
She is.
I know.
She's hot. And she knows it. You know it, LDK.
We all know it.
She'll
yeah.
be listening. Yeah. Okay, so. A couple things. So I have like a list of different things I want to ask you about in
okay.
terms of the beauty space, and you as well.
Save me for the end.
Okay. So a friend of mine who goes to you says that you don't do Morpheus. You're not into the radio frequency.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. Yeah.
Well, you know, anytime you want to start offering a procedure, you have to, you know, learn how to do the procedure, learn about the procedure, and then you have to buy the device.
Of course.
So, I mean, that's a big decision when
yeah.
you're talking about these expensive devices.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that, I mean, the Morpheus is just one brand of many radio
like
frequency
Vivace,
microneedle
right?
devices.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch. I mean, a ton. And I demoed that technology years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my patients were kind of like, you know, it really is painful.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it again. Yeah. It's unpleasant. I'm not sure if I saw a difference. And so I don't know. I never got really excited about it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've seen a number of people come in with complications from not specifically just Morpheus, but any of those devices. And I mean, a lot of that is operator dependent. Uh-huh. So if the person doing the procedure, you know, doesn't know how to use the machine specifically to cater to that patient, their skin type, or maybe it's like their neck skin is different than their face.
Mm.
You know, I've seen scarring. Yeah. I've seen discoloration.
Wow.
I've seen where you can see like the little needle marks left behind.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't see that with the procedures that I'm doing and the devices that I'm comfortable with. So I think that the risk outweighs the benefit, in my opinion.
Okay.
I also think that with that type of procedure in general, you have to do multiple sessions, and then you have to keep doing it for maintenance. Like, there's no permanent.
I know, that always annoys me. I mean, I get that there's, but to see any kind of difference, you have to do like three or four, whatever, you know.
So if the procedure's so unpleasant, you're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And then you spend some money and you do it once or like, twice and they're like,
And then you're stuck with the machine. No one's coming back for seconds.
And so it's so what it is, it's a radio frequency microneedling, basically.
So microneedling has been.
Do you like microneedling?
I love microneedling.
Same. And I think it's so effective and not crazy cost.
No, exactly. So the cool thing about microneedling, now I was trained in the era of like hardcore lasers, deep peels. We didn't have a lot of, you know, no downtime options. Mm-hmm. So when somebody first handed me the microneedle device and said, hey, let's, you know, let's see how this goes. This was like in 2010, 2011. And I looked at it and I was like, what's this going to do?
Yeah.
You know, seriously, like this isn't going to create enough of an injury to really like make a difference, make an impact in the skin. Because there are a lot of devices out there that claim to use some sort of heat to trick your skin into thinking it's being injured when it's not. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, if like it seems like nothing happened, then nothing happened, right? So,
you're like,
oh, I
nothing
I have
actually
no
happened.
Downtime.
Thanks for the money. Yeah.
And I look exactly the same as when I walked in.
Yes.
Like, how can that do anything?
No.
Like, I've just never been a big believer in a lot of those no downtime devices. But the microneedle, I mean, obviously we're making an injury. Like, there's bleeding.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then the next day you look okay.
Yeah, you look okay.
And I actually was working in an office with another dermatologist at the time I first started microneedling. And he has kind of an older clientele. And I was trying to get busier at the time. So he's like, oh, this could be your thing.
Yeah.
So he's sending over all these like 75-year-old patients.
For microneedling.
Who've never had a skin treatment for microneedling.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, oh, I don't know if this is going to do anything.
Yeah.
But the patients really liked it because they looked okay the next day.
Yeah.
And then they kept coming back and doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
And now like 10 years later, they're all still doing it. And they look amazing.
And I feel like
what
you can.
What is microneedling?
You need to do
it. No, we need to rewind because the feedback I've gotten a lot of these procedures we talk about, a lot of people don't know what they are.
Okay, so why don't you explain what microneedling
is?
I mean, I've done it quite a bit.
So
and
there's sort of different types of microneedle devices out there. Microneedling's actually been around for a really, really long time, like way before all this like cosmetic stuff was popular. Mm-hmm. They first made this thing called a derma roller.
Yes.
Which you
the spikes
you know, intended to
Holy
be used
shit.
At home to like make holes in the skin so when you put your product on, it would get absorbed better. However, it actually hurts more when you use the roller because you're coming in at like an angle. So it's sort of just making little tears in the very, very surface.
That's
of
why
your
you
skin.
Shouldn't microneedle at home by
no,
yourself.
No, there are a lot of reasons you shouldn't.
Yeah.
So the microneedle devices that I'm talking about that we started using about 10 years ago is a device where the needles, there's like a sterile tip that you put on for every patient, obviously.
Yes.
That's disposable.
Yeah.
It's not like reusable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the needles vibrate.
Yeah.
They vibrate so quickly that the device, like, it feels kind of like a massage device on your skin. And something about the vibration actually distracts the nerves from the pain. So it feels more like the vibration.
Yeah.
But the needles go deep enough to actually get into your dermis, which is where they're basically creating an injury. We're basically poking your skin with needles mm-hmm. like thousands of times. Mm-hmm. And it's the healing process that gives you the results mm-hmm. because part of the reason all the things are happening to our skin that we call aging mm-hmm. is really sun damage, right? And the sun damage accumulates and your repair mechanisms kind of slow down. And so we're sort of just reminding your skin to do its job mm-hmm. and do the repair. Mm-hmm. So every time we create a wound, your skin looks better and better. And so it's a pretty simple concept.
And it promotes, like, collagen, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we make an injury, all the mechanisms in your skin are switched on to make collagen and repair, like, DNA.
Yes.
So it's very effective. But what Morpheus and all these other devices are basically they're like, oh, well, let's see what happens if we put the needle in the skin. And then we conduct radio frequency energy under the skin, like between the needle tips, to get that radio frequency energy in, like deeper into the skin. Mm-hmm. And radio frequency has always been one of those, like heat, like, oh, hot stone massage feeling tricks your skin into thinking there's a wound, but there's not.
Yeah.
So the thought is, like, if we make a wound and use that heat, are we going to get, like, extra tightening? Mm-hmm. And the surface change that you get with microneedling.
I also don't think that the microneedling itself from those treatments is half as good as just microneedling. It's like
I agree.
It's like diet. It's like light. You know, it's like it's not actually like a real microneedling. You should like it's a fully different thing.
Right, because you're making more injuries with that little vibrating one.
Yes. Yes.
The thing is when you're heating up the skin through those needles, mm-hmm. if you were putting more needles in, mm-hmm. you would get like a full thickness burn.
Yes.
So you can't do it that way.
And then what somebody, I don't know if you know who the beauty broker is. Do you follow her, Melinda?
I know of her.
So she's interesting. My sister's friends with her, and I've spoken to her a few times in the past just about different things that she likes. She loves microneedling. She also loves that molding. It's not radio frequency. It's microcurrents. Do you like that?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's kind of bullshit, too, only
that's
because...
That's like a home treatment, though.
Well, some of these facialists do it, and it's like lasts for, like, a day.
A day, yes.
So, anyway, but...
It looks good for an event.
She was saying, like, Thermage and these...
Right up my alley.
Like, Thermage is one of the first... it's just radio frequency,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So, these things that get your skin so hot. She was like, imagine, like, raw chicken, like, on a grill. Like, she's like, you don't want to heat your skin. I'm sure Thermage gets much hotter than these other microneedling... radio frequency, or is it similar?
It's similar,
yeah. She doesn't like that, the heat. She thinks it could be actually counterproductive.
Right.
Do you feel that way?
We're hearing now, like, a lot of plastic surgeons talking about this.
Yeah.
Because when they're doing facelifts, they're seeing that there's a lot less subcutaneous fat
mm-hmm.
and also some scarring that's caused by these kind of devices.
Interesting.
So now we're seeing more and more plastic surgeons saying, hey, looks like this isn't such a good idea.
Interesting.
I always thought it wasn't a good idea because I think the results are kind of not reproducible.
Yes.
And unpredictable. And it's
painful, too. What do you mean not reproducible?
I just mean that some people seem to get results from it and some people get nothing.
Yes.
And so,
but have you seen the negative?
I haven't seen...
Like in terms of loss of volume or anything like that?
You know, I haven't seen... It's hard to tell.
Yeah, and you'd have to do it quite a few times, I would think.
Right, right. And it's not common that you'll see, like, something that's like a scar, because the tip of the device is usually like a square.
Yeah.
It's rare that you see, like, a loss of volume that's, like, just one spot.
Totally. And so you wouldn't really know.
It's hard to say, like, is your volume loss or your loose skin or loss of subcutaneous fat, is it from the procedure
Exactly. I've heard rumblings of that. But, again, I'm sure it's hard to quantify.
But sometimes you'll see a before and after on the neck where it looks like clearly the fat is shrunk.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, wow, that's a great before and after. Yeah. But then... Wait, do I want to do that on my whole face?
I just did it like a few days ago. This is why I'm talking about it. I did it on my neck.
Oh.
And I have marks like everywhere. But again, we'll see. In a month, I'll report back
Why'd
and tell you if
it
did anything.
Why'd you do it on your neck?
My neck, and again, you can tell us what you would do for a neck.
I think I have so many things.
It's starting to get like kind of crepey. And I have, I'm like vertical, horizontal lines that actually, if I look at pictures from my 20s, kind of have them.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody has those lines.
It's funny. And, yeah. But I want to just be, you know, then I see like the housewives that are like, it's like this. And I'm like, that fucking neck looks so tight and amazing. But, you know, you're not putting, I mean, some people do that pearl necklace like filler thing, but that you're not doing that. That's not a good thing. It's when they do like micro droplets, but you're not really getting rid of that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, filler doesn't seem to settle very well in those lines. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you can see the filler, like it looks bumpy.
Yeah.
And believe me,
what is your neck like? For, I'm 43.
Okay.
And it's never been my problem area, but I think it's the one thing.
It will be.
It's that I'm starting
to see. 2 years. You got 2 years.
That I'm starting to see. That I'm really starting to see and just notice, because I feel like my face is like good. Like I've always kind of stayed out of the sun, sunscreen. Mm-hmm. I'm fair. So my mom from an early age has been all over me, and I do things that work. But the neck, I've been neglecting the neck for so long, and the skin is different.
Yeah, yeah. This is the everybody's story.
Yes. So what do you say about that?
Yeah, I should just send over my 30-minute presentation on neck rejuvenation that I just did at a conference.
Amazing. I would love to see that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I kind of approached it from all the layers.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, you know, the crepey skin.
Yes.
Is the first thing. Uh-huh. And if you're fair-skinned, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it usually happens in your 40s or sometimes earlier. So it's good that you...
Yeah, it seems that 45 mark is pretty, like, among my circle. I'm seeing it.
Yeah, because most people aren't protecting their neck, especially not on a daily basis.
No, you don't
think
about it until you're like, oh, what the fuck?
See, whatever product I don't like on my face, I just use on my neck.
Oh, well, great.
I go, well, this costs a lot.
Or your hands, the top of your hands.
Yeah, that's
a good
idea, but I just lather my neck and my chest. Because I go...
Yeah, you should be doing that.
So do you want to tell us about it, or is it like proprietary? Should we just tell people to come see you if they want to know your
I mean, it's just that there's not the same thing for everybody, but in general.
You've seen a lot of
skin rejuvenation to address like the top layer,
the
outer layer. I'm a big fan of laser resurfacing. Mm-hmm. I do like microneedling for the neck, but I feel like it's a little slower.
Yeah.
So a little less satisfying.
Like thin skin to be needling.
They numb you, I think, mostly.
It's surprisingly pretty comfortable.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, not too bad.
But you've seen really good results from what you're
absolutely.
Doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we do – I have a favorite procedure for the neck called the cool peel.
Okay.
So it's a CO2 laser.
Yeah. Oh, it is
done
CO2.
Very, very gently. Uh-huh. So you don't have a lot of downtime.
Do you have any downtime?
Well, I guess it's – depends on your definition of downtime.
Yeah. I'm outing Lauren. I think Lauren just did this, and she didn't look weird at all.
Oh, yeah. She does it all the time, and then she works out the next day, which I usually don't suggest sweating the next day, but, you know, it's not going to cause any damage.
Yeah.
It's just that it can be uncomfortable because your skin's still going to be warm, kind of sunburning.
So the cool peel isn't a blade. It's ablative, then.
It is ablative resurfacing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So but you could turn it up and make it, like, crazy?
We could.
Oh, okay. just wondering.
I've never seen you more excited in my life.
I'm
the prospect
I'm
of a new neck right
a
now.
A new neck, yes.
The nice thing about the cool peel in general is that it's safe. Mm-hmm. You can do it with traditional CO2. You can't do it on the neck because it's too risky for scarring. You can't do it on the hands or the arms. So we can do the cool peel like basically anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's sunburning.
Wait,
for
so
like
you can use the CO2
hours.
On your neck? Or
absolutely.
But just on a low.
We call it low density superficial.
Got it.
So we have to be careful.
Yeah.
But if you do it multiple times and it's easy enough to do that you don't mind doing it multiple times, that's why I like it better than things like the RF microneedling, because it's the procedure's quick.
You
can
so
do it with
you would
no
do that
numbing.
In place of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I do do it in place of that
because
I don't have that other
machine.
It sounds
way more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You could do it with no numbing.
Yeah.
And it feels hot after. There's a bit of an afterburn. I'd say the afterburn is probably the most uncomfortable part. About 2 hours where it feels warm.
What is the difference between that and Fraxel? Is Fraxel
it's
just
similar.
A brand?
Fraxel is non-ablative resurfacing, but it's kind of the same concept. It's like you're using heat to make injuries in the skin.
Doesn't Fraxel do an ablative one or no?
There is, I'm sorry, yes. There is an ablative Fraxel called the Repair.
Yeah.
I know, when you say Fraxel, I think of my Fraxel, which is the one called the Dual.
You have the Fraxel.
Yeah.
I just did that last week.
Oh. Wait.
I need to. I shouldn't need to. I've spent so much money with you. I did the Morpheus. Yeah, I did. I haven't. I've only done it once before, like 2 years ago. But I do it, you know, fall, winter. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like it sort of. Remember a few weeks ago, I was like sandpaper face?
Like brown and peely.
Yeah. But I don't know if Lauren, or I keep saying Lauren just because I know she's done this other one, but do people prefer one or the other? Or do you feel like you would recommend one over the other
for
someone?
Well, it depends. Yeah. If somebody has a lot of sun damage and they have a lot of brown spots and their skin looks kind of dull and, you know, they just have that kind of, you know, look of, they haven't really maintained their skin. Mm-hmm. I think the Fraxel is a good way to make a noticeable improvement with one treatment because we're going to actually peel off a lot of skin. So your skin's brown and peely for about a week.
Yeah, so more downtime.
The thing is if your skin's already pretty good, like I don't do the Fraxel on my face because I think it's kind of overkill.
Yeah.
I've always done like kind of micro procedures on my face. Yeah. So why would I do something more aggressive with potentially more risk if it's not going to make a big impact? So
what's interesting, because the Cool Peel uses CO2 and the other doesn't, but it's so interesting. And so what's like the amount of treatments with like Cool Peel?
We usually suggest doing a series of four and then for
how
your maintenance, about a month.
Okay.
And then for maintenance, like I like to have one and I do it on my face, neck. I usually do the Fraxel on my chest.
Yeah, that's
I feel
what
like
I
my chest,
do too.
The chest heals and my arms.
Yeah.
Those areas heal slower.
Oh.
So sometimes it's kind of a pain to do multiple Cool Peels because every time you do it, it takes like 2 weeks for the dry skin to come off.
And you have to wait. So you just
it's
rather
easy to just cover it up and do a Fraxel like once a year.
It's not your face. Yeah.
Then on my face and neck, I do a Cool Peel like every quarter or so. Mm-hmm.
Are there more, last thing I'm going to ask about Cool Peel, is there more anti-aging benefits from it, like with tightening or anything like that?
Yes, and I'm going to say also anti-aging as in cancer prevention.
Oh, wow.
Resurfacing with laser, Fraxel included, and in fact, they just did a study looking at people over 20 years who had one or two Fraxels and kind of looked at them compared to their age and risk factor match controls. And the areas that were treated with Fraxel, they developed 50% fewer skin cancers.
Wow.
So I always say it's not just, you know, if you do a photo facial, like an IPL or a BBL, I always say it's kind of like faking that your skin is less sun damaged because it's taking away the discoloration.
But it's not actually doing.
But it only targets the discoloration because that's how that laser works, is it sees the discoloration and puts the heat there.
But it's not going deeper.
But it's not treating your whole skin. So when we treat your whole skin, we create an injury. The healing process, if there's some early changes that are sort of pre-cancerous, you're repairing it, you're like nipping it in the bud.
So both of those things are you see fewer skin cancer.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Connie, have you done any of these things? She suggested Botox she just did Botox for the first time like a few months ago.
Literally, I couldn't.
I'm sorry you're
laughing
at this conversation.
No, I'm fine. I can't do any of this. I have really bad rosacea. So it's not like I can go out.
I was reading that she studied rosacea.
This kind of stuff will make your rosacea better.
Needles?
You have to control the rosacea first.
Yeah.
Because part of rosacea is sun damage.
Is that why babies don't have rosacea?
And that's why children don't.
Yeah.
You know, there are kind of unusual
instances
of rosacea that you see in kids.
Yeah, but
it's different.
Different,
But usually the sort of adult white woman is like the classic rosacea patient.
I was reading on your bio that you specifically studied rosacea or did some trial or something.
I did I got a grant from the Rosacea Society my year after my residency when I was on faculty at the university.
How about that?
Yeah, we all get you.
So do you trust her?
I don't do anything.
Do you trust her now?
Yeah, well, I know how to take care of rosacea.
Yeah.
The thing is, you get the rosacea under control and then you can treat the sun damage. You know, people think, I just can't do anything.
Yeah.
You can't use Retin-A. Can't have laser. I can't have microneedling.
I've used Retin-A back in the day when it was like for
acne. I think that's a misconception, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if the rosacea is active, if it's flared up,
It's not. Yeah. It's very mild. It's just when I don't wear makeup, everyone's like, oh, my gosh, are you sick? And I'm like, no.
Sick?
No.
Sick
well,
with
we
what?
Have a laser for redness. That's what we did the study on, actually.
Friends did it. and it made a huge difference. Yeah. He's got like, he's got like stereotypical rosacea, like the rash up the cheek, you know? Like, I don't really have that. I just have red skin.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm just
we
like.
We have a laser for that.
Yeah, I don't do all this stuff. I wish I did. Well,
I get the capillaries, like, not, I don't know if that's rosacea, like, around here.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's just normal.
Yeah. And then I've done the laser, but it's sort of short acting. I mean, I feel.
Yeah, they come back.
Is there anything that's, like, new advancements with that? Not really.
No.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Because that's the thing. It's, like, our skin will always continue to be exposed to life and the environment.
Yeah.
So there's nothing. Like, I have this conversation, like, every damn day.
Where, sorry. Well, now
it's like,
no, wait,
isn't there,
your thought.
I really love the Cool Peel, but why do I have to keep doing it forever? You know, 6 months later, I'm like, oh, I'm back to square one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, I don't, there's just nothing that will permanently.
But with those things, I do feel like you are improving. I don't know that you're back to square one. With these, with the capillaries, I feel like you're back to square one.
Yes, they do come back.
But with the constant maintenance, I feel like sometimes I think my skin's better than it was, you know, 10 years ago, just because I'm taking better care of it.
I mean, you just did, like, a bunch of stuff a week ago.
I felt so weird.
You are clearly maintaining. You're doing the maintenance.
Yeah, well.
But I do have some people, they come for a Fraxel once a year.
Yeah.
I mean, after they have a couple, they don't look back to their square one picture. Yeah. But
you know,
if they're not doing anything else.
You know why I don't do it?
Why?
Because Mike.
It's fine.
Because my skin's never good enough. Like, capillaries, I'm always going to have to wear makeup, so I don't give a shit.
Where do you have capillaries?
Wait a minute.
You know what I mean? Like,
why?
Where I go, I'm never going to be in a state where I go, yeah, this is a makeup-free day. So that's why I go, I really don't care about
it. I think you're wrong.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Maybe if I got my skin in better shape.
I think you need to book your first gig with her soon.
Yeah. Makeup shouldn't be
I don't agree
with
that at all.
Well, that's easy for someone to say that doesn't have. Rosacea is a different ball. You can understand. Rosacea is like a different ballgame where you're like, it's not really an option to be like, yeah, I'm going to work makeup free. Where you always feel like it's a crutch to go.
If your rosacea is under control, then it can
but
be.
But do I have to follow
clear.
All the things of like not drinking wine, not drinking hot
beverages?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that's what everyone tells
me. That's what they said about the capillaries to me. They're like spicy food, hot baths. I'm like, love, wine, love.
Hot workouts.
Hot workouts, totally.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I have a touch of rosacea. I say a touch because I'm a flusher. I get
You're
red
flusher,
easily.
Yeah. Same here.
When I do that workout, oh my God, people are like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like,
same
I'm
here.
Excessively
are you okay?
Red.
Yeah.
I occasionally will get like a little rosacea pimple here and there. I think if I hadn't done all the stuff that I've done for my skin over the years, it would be worse if I hadn't maintained it. And when it kind of flares up, I treat it. But I think that when you're in a place where you are, where you're just like, oh, I just have it.
Yeah.
I think nobody's ever given you a treatment for long enough for you to see if your
everything
skin can clear up.
Yeah, and I go hard. I meet someone new in the skincare space, and
it's
then I buy.
It's not skincare. You probably need prescriptions.
Yeah, I was using the rosacea cream for a while. That actually really helped.
Yeah,
I don't know what it's called. It was a
prescription. You can use that forever.
I got pregnant, and they were like, please don't use it anymore. Oh. But anyway, I never really refilled it. But anyway, I go hard and I buy everything.
Yeah.
And then my skin gets awful and I'm like, why did I just do that?
No, I think you could start off slow and you could, you know, like just take pro steps into, you know, a good like regime that's not going to be like 10 things a day.
Unfortunately, there's not a lot of skincare out there that is actually going to help with rosacea.
Yeah.
A lot of times it just needs prescription.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes what I do with somebody like you will get you on the cream, and maybe we even use like a low dose anti-inflammatory antibiotic, like doxycycline is our sort of typical gold standard.
I used to take tetracycline.
And yeah, that one's
like
that's way more unpleasant to take.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
thing with doxycycline is that it just kind of has that anti-inflammatory benefit.
Ooh, you love
and
that.
And a lot of the things about rosacea is like skin texture, like your pores look larger, your skin just looks kind of bumpy, and it's all low-grade inflammation. And then the flushing comes, and
my inflammation
the redness.
On blood tests is actually really high.
Right.
So just be part of your genetics.
So what I sometimes do with people like you. If you were my patient and we were having a consult right now, I would say let's get you on the topical. I like to use this stuff called Triple Cream, mm-hmm. which are sort of all of our favorite rosacea prescriptions compounded in one formula, because they usually work better in combination than just one. So a lot of people, I don't want them to have to buy three prescriptions and layer them all on.
Yeah, it's all in one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then put you on the doxycycline for like 3 months and do maybe like one laser a month for 3 months. You will have different skin.
Wait, will that, does rosacea, is rosacea also connected to like acne too?
Yeah.
You think so?
It depends.
So
I mean,
like
they're
hormonal.
Well, hormonal acne and rosacea are different, yeah. but some people do get like they used to use the term acne rosacea to sort of like blob everything into this, mm-hmm. Name. But there's a type of pimples that you get with rosacea that's a little different than hormonal acne. But the hormonal acne is a different thing.
Your mind.
Can I have
just,
a million
can I just
before
pay you for
and after?
Consultation after this and we'll start treatment?
Yes. There's a, like, I have a million before and after pictures of people like you who say, I just, my skin will never be good.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm okay with that.
No,
isn't
but
that
it's
sad?
No, you shouldn't be. You're like still like very young, and I think you would do some things and be like, wow, you just haven't done anything.
No, I just don't.
And you haven't been to anybody.
Well, you have to be motivated.
Yeah, and you have to go to someone great.
Yeah, the people I try out, I go, nope.
Well,
I've gone to one person I really
You'll
love.
Go to like all the people that are like.
Okay.
She was good. Before my wedding, but that was like 10 years ago. And I had different skin then. So maybe I will.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm using products that are good for rosacea.
Let's talk about your products. Yeah. So when did you start making products?
It is possible.
All right.
Yeah.
So actually, it's been sort of a work in progress since before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then that happened, and we were kind of like, and when I say we, I have a business partner. And she, thankfully, works on a lot of the stuff that I don't have time to because I'm seeing patients. Mm-hmm. So, she's done a lot of the, groundwork with the skincare product line.
Amazing.
And so, anyway, in 2020, when we had to close for a minute, I'm just like, never mind, cancel everything. Yeah. Like, forget it. No money left. Yeah. Bankruptcy. I don't know. It's such a scary, crazy thing. But then once we got back up and running and things felt back to normal, we're like, okay, we got to get back on the skincare line. And so it launched in 2021.
Okay. Amazing.
What's in there.
So because I feel like a lot of derms especially will be like medical grade only. Like, do you consider this medical grade?
I don't know what that means. That's
okay,
kind of
that's
a buzzword that doesn't really have a definition. I think that kind of what that terminology, kind of came to be with products that were made specifically for dermatology practices. And they are products that have some sort of science behind them, basically.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, there's a lot of what I call fluff out there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because it's medical grade, but most of that stuff you can get. I mean, you could get
there's
your
nothing
own.
Wrong with, products that are fluff. For a lot of patients, they're like,
look at that.
This is so cute. Headband.
Oh, yeah. You got to have the accessories.
I mean, and the bag.
I've been
dead.
Searching for a headband lately when I wash my face.
Well, there you go.
What do you think of, I'm going to ask you about another brand really quick, because I've gotten such mixed reviews on this, and I've been using it for a while, but I know, it's Augustina Spader.
Oh, right.
Have you ever, do you have any thoughts on it? Have you tried it?
We
don't need to bash it. I just, because I think
just
it's changed.
Don't feel like
It has a lot of PR.
Yeah.
This is an example only because I was medically backed. There was like a science. There was science behind it. There was a doctor who I think developed it. Maybe not.
He's not a doctor.
Okay.
But that's okay.
No,
he's a scientist.
Why it's hard to navigate.
I sort of have a little bit of a concern when a product line comes out and they say, oh, we have this proprietary ingredient.
TC, whatever
that
it is. Yeah.
That, we were like, Dr. Whoever was tinkering around
in
the lab.
I'm a sucker for those.
discovered that we were able to grow stem cells with this proprietary ingredient that nobody's ever heard of before. And there's no data in the medical literature about it.
Yeah.
And it's just hard for me to believe that that is legit.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't
get on board with that because
I can't. And I would never do that. You know, hopefully we'll never have a product that says this is our proprietary peptide or whatever. Yeah. I just think
have you tried it? Like, have you felt it? Do you?
Sure. I think it's a nice moisturizer. Yeah. It's a great moisturizer.
Or like a Sicily brand. Like, again, all PR. Sure, like good ingredients, but like nothing revolutionary.
Yeah. I think people like the way that stuff feels on their skin. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it.
What we
tell
did,
us about yours. Yeah.
The whole concept of Facile, and you can see on the bag, it says good skin should be easy.
It's so cute.
Is that, you know, I think people are confused about what to use, and you go in a store.
I love the packaging.
It's sort of overwhelming, and there's lots of stuff, and I'm a victim of this too. I go in to, you know how many like lip glosses and eyeliners that I have that are like all exactly the same.
Yes.
But I'm like, oh, this one. I heard this one lasts the longest, and I keep buying them.
Yeah.
And I don't do it with skincare because, I don't need to because I mean, lots of people give me free stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we wanted to simplify it for people.
Yeah.
So instead of, you know, you going and being like, oh, do I need vitamin C? Do I need retinol? What do I need? And people come in and they dump this bag of stuff that they're using on my tray.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's all the same stuff. Like, you're using like three serums with the same stuff in it. So it's kind of not necessary. And obviously they're coming to see me for a reason.
And they're spending so much money.
They're not satisfied with what it's doing.
Yes.
So we wanted to keep it simple. And so the core four line are these ones in the red boxes. And that's kind of your basic skincare. So Bare Necessity is a cleanser. You know, there's no fancy ingredient in this cleanser. It's just really simple. And these products are clean and sustainable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't have a ton of
preservatives. And what is the price point of this?
I knew you were going to ask me that. It's not expensive.
Yeah.
The serums are $38.
Okay.
I don't know off
just
the top of my
$38.
Head the exact prices. But we price them in a way to make them accessible to people. And I also really want, if you're going to use the products, to use them all together as a system.
Yeah, which
and
I love.
If every product is $300, you can't buy the whole system.
No,
you're just going to buy.
Wait till you see the bag I brought.
And you want to
stuff
compliment.
I purchased.
Look how strong this is.
I don't have to.
So wait
see
a minute. Okay, we start with that.
Okay.
Can people with rosacea?
So, yes.
Okay.
You know, and again.
No, not people like you.
All right, here, I'll pack it up.
Try to make this like as universal as possible.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted men to like it. I want teens to like it.
Yeah.
I want people with dry skin to like it. I want people who have problem skin, whether it's acne or rosacea or whatever, to
all
like
the above.
It.
I'm gonna.
So it's very simple, and you know, with cleanser, of course, some people maybe they like a creamy cleanser.
Ugh.
This is a foaming cleanser.
I hate cream cleanser,
but it's a light foam.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
So then we have
this is beautiful. Yeah, I just put it on my hand.
So that is a light moisturizer. Again, trying to keep it really universal. You know, I know we want to have a heavier, like a night cream kind of moisturizer.
Yes.
But this was the first one, just because we wanted something that, even if you're acne prone, doesn't feel too heavy.
Uh-huh.
Wanted it to appeal to as many people as possible.
Would you do a sunscreen before this or after this?
Sunscreen always goes on after your skincare.
Okay, and then before your makeup.
Correct.
Okay.
Wait, this is for morning?
So it can be for morning or night or both. So with moisturizers, a lot of people are like, oh, when do I put it on? Do I morning or night? You can put it on when you need it.
I don't use moisturizer.
Some people
ever.
Oh, well, here now you're going to start.
Also, so one of these. Okay, so this is hyaluronic.
So yes, that one is Do You. This is
so cute. I love
like one
wait,
of our most
oh, wait.
popular products.
It's great.
Cuz hyaluronic acid is basically just helps to hold the moisture in your skin.
Yeah.
It's not active, so it doesn't cause irritation or it's something that, you know, anybody can use. And it plays well with other products.
Yeah, it's light.
So if you want a heavier moisturizer, you can layer that and then put the Barely There on top.
Oh, okay, amazing.
You can layer that and put this first and then Barely There?
Because the Barely There is a lighter moisturizer, but if you want to layer them, then you're going to feel, like, more
really
hydrated.
Really hydrated.
Yeah.
What
if you're putting on sunblock? this,
well,
this,
the sunblock
and then sunblock
goes on
after all of it. Oh my God, so you do this, 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 and then sunblock.
Do you
sometimes.
Do a sunblock? Do you make a sunscreen?
Not yet.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a work in
progress. What is your SPF number that you would like what do you use on it every day?
At least 30 is
at
good.
At least 30, okay.
Yeah. I know a lot of products now are kind of the standard is looking more like 40, 50.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I do 46.
Oh, you use Elta MD. Mm-hmm.
Do you?
No, I just know that that's like their number.
I heard that the clear one has bad ingredients. I don't know.
Oh, shit. That's what
I was using the tinted one.
I didn't like the tinted. Do you still use that putty one?
Yeah, I like it.
They have a lot of different sunscreens.
So this is what I want to ask about, because I've had so many different C serums, a lot by SkinCeuticals, but others I've tried.
Yeah.
And I find them so sticky. This doesn't feel sticky.
Wait, which one do you?
So
Distress. It's a serum.
So we did do you already.
We did do you. Okay, Distress.
Yes. So this is De-Stress, and I brought this one because we do have some other serums, but those are for specific skin issues. Like we have one that's more for acne prone skin, we have one that's for discoloration. This one, again, kind of for everybody. Let me show you how to use the pump,
because
this is kind of a unique pump.
Sometimes
it takes people a minute to figure it out, but when you press it, it actually draws up the amount of product you need for your whole face.
Like the perfect amount. I love that.
That's what you need for your whole face.
Look
at this little alligator hand.
Oh.
it's like
I'm thirsty, mama.
It's like, where are we?
So the idea behind our serums is that they have multiple ingredients that work in harmony to kind of achieve the goal of what the serum is doing for you. So this is De-Stress.
Okay.
So this is great for this time of year when our skin's drier and the weather's changing. And
oh, my gosh.
It's really nice.
Look at my two hands right
and
now.
And this is awesome
Gator
for
hand?
Rosacea, by the way.
This is.
So I think you're really going to like.
You put it all over your face?
All this stuff.
That's amazing.
You can use it morning and night.
Look at this.
But if you're using, that's incredible.
You just
that's
need
incredible.
More moisture.
Wow, look at that before and after.
I'm healed.
So all of your serums, though, like even the more targeted ones, do they all have C or no?
No.
Is there, okay.
The one universal ingredient we have in all the serums is niacinamide.
Okay.
Which is your vitamin B3.
Okay.
And that's something that pretty much most people can tolerate. Niacinamide. I mean, it's in your diet. It's in your body.
Do you know what I'm talking about? How many of those C serums are
sticky? They're all sticky.
This
is not sticky. That's why I don't wear them.
Well, it's all about the vehicle.
Yeah.
And the thing with this, it doesn't have a super high potency vitamin C.
Okay.
When you get into really high, I think it's overrated.
Yeah.
So when you use a really high potency vitamin C, the thing is it's very unstable.
Okay.
And it doesn't play well with other ingredients.
Yeah, it smells weird.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a lower potency, but we've combined it with other ingredients to sort of amplify that protective effect of it.
Yeah, I love it.
So you don't necessarily need the high dose.
How did you figure out how to do this? You just did you work with
a
lab?
Work with a lab and a skincare consultant who's amazing.
Okay.
And she has worked with a million brands for a very long time. So that was some great wisdom, because that's something I don't know.
Yeah,
because
you're not like add a little more. I mean,
I know what I want in it, but I don't know
vehicle.
Like how they work well together or how to keep them stable, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something that is maybe not for you.
I just take mine because I just peeled off the thingy.
Oh, wait, what is that?
I wanted to smell it. This I know I just read it.
It's exfoliating
mask. This is an exfoliating mask.
Okay.
So maybe someday your skin will be ready for this.
One day.
But if you're sensitive, I wouldn't recommend doing this. But this is like a once a week, more like a treatment that you do at home.
Nice.
As far as exfoliating acids go, it is like fairly gentle.
Uh-huh.
Like I could probably put it, my skin's really tough.
Yeah.
Because I do everything.
Yeah.
But I could put it on probably leave it on all day and I'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we recommend doing it as we call it a 7-minute acid trip.
Oh.
7 minutes. and then you rinse it off.
Okay, so it's not like a scrub. I mean, it says exfoliating, but it's not like a scrub.
It is. So it has fruit acids.
Okay.
And there's little actually cranberry seeds in there. So,
cool.
But it's not for the purposes of being a scrub.
Yeah, it's just exfoliating in it.
And so there's
AHAs and BHAs in there in combination to do chemical exfoliation. So that means it sort of dissolves the dead skin and oil and stuff.
That's
so
incredible.
That gives you like a glow. But your skin probably would not like it.
Mine would be like, no!
A little red and
give
angry.
Give me more of
the, so you save that for...
Solution. My skin's more tolerant.
Yes.
Is that like on
purpose? You know, we could have called this place Samolitis Dermatology.
Yeah.
Samolitis.
Going back to, you know, someday... I'm going to discover a skin disease and call it Samolitis.
I've got Samolitis on my face.
Anyway, so again, I have to give my business partner some credit for this one.
Yeah.
Because, we wanted to create a brand and not be – I also, in my experience –
so more scalable without just being about you.
Yeah. You know, and I used to work – the doctor I was saying I worked with in Beverly Hills, he's retired now, but his name is Mark Rubin.
Yeah.
And I joined his practice, and when they answered the phone, they'd be like, Dr. Rubin's office.
Yeah.
And when my patients would call, they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, I must have the wrong number.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I was like, can we, because the office actually had a name that was like Lasky Skincare.
Yes, yes.
But the point
I know that one.
Is that how could I ever like,
but they never
thrive if it was like just
not
about
scalable.
Him, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted, and you know, all of our providers are like the heart and soul of Facile.
Yeah. How many other providers are there?
How many? Let's see. Like, I think there are six of us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So, and the goal is to have more other locations.
Yeah.
Again, COVID slowed all that down. I mean, we were like ready to move to New York.
Yeah.
Big aspirations.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
You know, then we slowed down. We want to be more careful about it.
But it's you and your business partner who started it, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's
so cool.
Yeah.
I love that. It's really cool. I like the lip jelly. We're wearing the lip jelly.
Oh, my God.
Jelly.
It feels so good.
It's really good.
Yeah. So, again, universal product.
Yeah.
That costs $12.
So smart. Okay.
We do have tinted ones.
Oh, I was just going to ask that.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be a natural
I should have brought the tinted ones.
Yeah.
No. I like regular.
I think we ran out of space in the bag.
Oh, my God. The bag. It's all
we
so
have
cute.
The brand
sort
of like little... package of the three tinted ones together, like a cute little holiday
gift. Jelly in your purse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course
Hell
I do.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, I have a keychain with one too. Yeah.
All right, do I start with this before I see you?
Lip jelly everywhere.
I think you should just book an appointment and
I'm
have,
going
it,
to.
Have it on
if
the
If you
book.
Have your calendar on you right now, I'm not letting you go.
You know, I am not good at booking appointments. Yeah. Like, please don't text me to book appointments.
No. What if I did?
I'm going to call the office down and be like, I'm sitting with
every
Samsonite.
Every single day.
Samolitis.
Every day I get, blurry pictures of,
oh
my
this?
Cousin has a rash.
Oh, Lord.
Can you suggest something? And I'm
like no,
oh.
I can't.
Call the office, please.
Yeah. I do that to my dad. He's a doctor.
Oh,
and
okay.
I will send him photos
your
of
poor father.
All kinds of things. I just recently.
What kind of doctor is he?
Internal medicine.
Okay, so he hates that.
He's partially retired. Yeah, he hates
he's
it.
He's retired, so he likes
so
it.
Then
that's
when
all doctors hate rashes.
Yeah.
Other than me, I love rashes. I just don't like blurry pictures
or pediatric.
In the middle of the night.
Pediatric
or
virus.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Right. Most other rashes, I'm into it.
You're into it. I know. It's kind of fun. It's like a game. I just gave her my dad's cell phone recently, and she's been like blowing him up.
I
think he likes it. He's partially
game,
retired.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm like,
he's
you ready
it.
For your medical mystery today? And he's like, red. Yes.
That's so funny.
Yeah. No, I like to be a rash detective. In fact, when somebody comes in and they're like, oh, I've been to a bunch of other people and nobody can figure this
mm-hmm.
out,
like,
I'm like, ooh,
it.
I got that.
CSI rash.
Yeah. CSI rash. I love it. Yeah, so what do you enjoy most day to day about just you love like the people element of it? Do you like, I mean, what
I love and hate.
Yeah, I mean, I know, because I feel like it's like when you go to
like
a hairdresser,
nice
people want to tell you everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you have your fair share
nice,
of
realistic people who are happy and trust me. Those are the, that's the real joy.
Yeah.
No, it's really like, when I see somebody who comes in and they say, I'll never have good skin and I just have to put makeup on it. And then 6 months later, they're like, oh, my God, I had no idea that I could have good skin.
Connie, you're everyone's
makeup.
Pet project.
I swear to God, everyone
She's
that comes
like,
on, I'm like, it's
I
okay. I don't mind.
Like, you kind of are. Are you still going?
Yeah. Well, I took a week off because I think I messed up my leg a little.
All right.
I went hard.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that. It's not like I'm like a victim.
With your skin?
Yeah. Well, I just didn't know it could be fixed.
Yeah,
I think
that's the most satisfying stuff to me when we, you know, I show somebody their before and after picture.
Yeah.
I've kind of gotten a reputation of being the, they call me the melasma whisperer.
Yeah.
Because melasma is like a really challenging skin condition.
Yeah, because those bleaching
treat.
Creams like don't really touch it sometimes.
You know, the thing is that what I find that most of my colleagues kind of a lot of times, you know, don't understand is it's a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. The same with rosacea. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no cure.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's managing.
You know, a lot of laser companies and peels and salespeople come in and they go, oh, this treats melasma. And they're like, oh, great, I'm going to buy this. And then I'm going to do this laser and it's going to treat your melasma. Well, it doesn't work by itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't work for the long term. Uh-huh. And it works, but you got to combine it with other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody comes in with melasma and they sit down, I'm like, okay, well, we're going to start with this. I'm going to see you in 6 weeks. And then we're going to do this. And then we're going to see you in 3 months. And we're going to see you in 6 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Because if you think you're cleared up, that's, you know, it looks great. But then you can't just stop doing the treatment because then you're going to go back to square one.
Yeah.
So I have all these amazing before and after pictures of melasma.
You love that. Yeah.
And
I got a lot of that.
All my colleagues are like, how do you do it?
Yeah.
And it's, you just have to educate the patient in the beginning.
And so they know what they're,
you know, if I said to you, I have a laser that's going to fix your rosacea and you come in, we do three lasers. You're like, that's great.
Yeah.
And then you know, 6 months later you don't maintain and then like your rosacea is back and you're like, that doctor, you know, they lied to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like everything. There is a certain amount of maintenance involved.
Yeah.
Do you spend any time in the sun? Do you ever feel like getting sun is a
positive
thing?
I was a sun worshiper as a teen.
Where did you grow up?
I tanned for sport. Like, I was an expert tanner.
Same girl.
Where did you grow up?
Illinois.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. So in the summer, I mean, I was on, like, a piece of foil. And I tanned
buttered up in oil
easily.
Yeah.
So my skin should look much worse.
Yeah, no, it looks like you've stayed out
so,
of the sun.
Have you heard of Maui, babe?
No.
What? Have you heard of Maui, babe?
I think so. What is that?
It's a tan accelerator.
Oh, okay.
Burn.
Yeah.
It's a rust-colored lotion.
I don't think I use
that. It really draws
one,
the sun
I
to you.
I did, like, the iodine and baby oil.
Oh, my God, iodine.
You know, I got a base tan and the tanning bed.
Yeah, the
I would buy, like, a package, you know, every year.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I can still smell it.
Do you ever spray tan?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't like the spray tan because I feel like it always doesn't look right.
I always break out afterwards.
I do the gradual tan.
Oh.
The, like, stuff you mix with your moisturizer.
Oh.
Yeah,
just
I like that
just
stuff.
On your face? Or you do your
no,
whole body?
No, I do it on my, like, mix it with my moisturizer, and I feel like it never looks, like, too extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it doesn't, like, fade weird if you just apply it regularly.
I wish
so
I had that kind of stamina.
Do
I
you
just
think
want, like, tan.
Gradual? Yeah, I'm, like,
tan tomorrow.
Zero
to 100.
But do you think any amount of sun is like healthy for you? You know, I think because everyone's spooked
you
by
know,
the sun, then everyone's vitamin D deficient. And I just wonder,
right,
like, is there a level of,
you know,
sun exposure?
I can't, like, ethically say
you
should go sit in the sun for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I know people are like, oh, I just put my legs in the sun, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then I see people, they're like, oh, I have all these spots on my legs. And, you know, we can't really make those spots go away.
Yeah.
Like, those are, that's really hard.
Those
like,
are there
it,
to
it's
stay.
Like too far gone. I can't
fix
it.
Oh, you know what else I was reading on your bio is that she does the vein therapy. Like, don't you do
the leg veins?
Yeah.
Oh, does it say that on my bio?
Do you not?
I'm gonna
is
have
it a
to
lie?
Delete that.
Is it a lie?
I used to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we gotta delete that.
Is it
that.
Not a laser?
No,
it's a
laser
surgery.
Doesn't work very well. No, you have to inject those veins.
With what?
Oh, Jesus.
You have to do something called sclerotherapy.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't do it anymore.
Oh.
I, you know, now I have a referral and that's all he does, and he's an expert. The problem is if you wanna treat a vein with laser, you have to make the laser a little tiny dot, and then you have to trace the vein. So it's like,
and you can't always see.
It's not realistic to do a bunch of leg veins like that.
Yeah.
And usually there's a vein that you can't see that is sort of causing the problem.
Interesting.
And so my referral, Dr. Golshan, he does like an ultrasound exam, and he treats the source of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when you do the vein injections, they usually look worse before they look better for a while.
Yeah.
And people don't like that.
Yeah.
And they get annoyed and they don't want to wear compression stocking. It's just like a more challenging.
It's, very in depth. Yeah. Yeah. Right now. Yeah. No, I know some of those can be really,
so
really
if there's somebody heavy. Who wants to do just that, then he can have all my
totally.
Leg pain patients.
What do you think about filler under the eye? I know that a lot. Do you do it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You sound like Lauren. Doesn't she sound like Lauren a little bit right now? Because I have a friend who was talking about it, and I know that there's people. I know a lot of injectors won't do it because they're probably not as.
I've been doing
trained.
It forever.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you do it on yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I do not recommend doing it on yourself.
No. I mean, I didn't mean, that. Do you have someone do it to you?
Yes.
What I meant. But you don't. Do you actually do it on yourself?
I have done it on myself.
I love it.
Wait, you put injection? You put filler under your eyes?
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
Oh, to fill it in.
Why not?
Well, what does it do?
To make my eyes look
but
more youthful.
When you're like, as you age, you know, you start to. Well, some people, I think, even younger people, have that issue already.
And well, some people are not a candidate for it because some people have the opposite problem. They've got like bags. They've got puffiness. They have a tendency to swell. Mm-hmm. They have skin laxity.
Yeah.
So there are different under eye issues,
and
filler's not the answer to all of them.
Yeah.
And if you use filler on somebody who's not a candidate, that's bad.
Yeah.
The under eye is very unforgiving.
Yeah.
You have to use, I think there's only one filler that behaves well in the under eyes.
Is it a thicker viscosity or like a?
It's kind of medium.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's like the original Restylane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time, and I've kind of learned now not to stop doing this, but when new fillers come out, sometimes I'm like, oh, that might be really good in the under eye, and then not always.
Like, no.
Yeah,
I know. What do you think about do you think about for lips filler? Like, what is your go-to?
Oh my gosh, you do lips too?
Yeah.
She does everything.
I don't know who I thought would do lips, but I didn't think it was you.
She does pediatric lips.
That's what I was looking for.
Do you like the Kiss or the Refine, or are you still kind of like a...
I do like both Refine and Kiss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It depends
on what they want,
how your lips are to start with,
mm-hmm.
and it depends on what you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
And some people... are, you know, if they have really thin lips or more aged lips or like a lot of like lip wrinkles,
uh-huh.
I like the thinner fillers. There's a different line called RHA,
uh-huh.
and they make a really thin, like watery filler for somebody who just wants their lips to look more hydrated or smoother.
Oh, so it's not just those two brands. What is it? Allergan. What is it? What are the two brands?
Main brands? Allergan and
Restylane?
Galderma.
Oh, Galderma. Yeah. So there's other brands that make.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There are quite a few.
And then I think there was like a newer Botox type of thing someone was talking about.
Oh, yeah. There's Daxxify.
Yeah.
So actually, the filler I just mentioned, RHA, is the same company. They're called Revance.
Okay.
And they. Daxxify is a botulinum toxin drug that was originally designed or was hoping to be applied topically.
Uh-huh.
So they encapsulated the active in a peptide that was supposed to help drive it through the skin.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I was going to be involved in one of their original studies like over 10 years ago.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it didn't work.
Oh.
Apparently, it worked a little.
Yeah.
But not enough to become like FDA approved as an effective drug.
Yeah, it takes a long time, right?
Yeah. So then when they injected it, they were seeing that it seemed to last longer than the other botulinum drugs that we have on the market. In our experience, since we've had it the last year, it hasn't been a major, like, groundbreaking game changer. Some people like it just with
any
of...
Do you use it?
We have it.
Yeah. Okay.
I've used it. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's, like, significantly better. I'm not going to tell somebody I think it's, like, way better than any other one.
Do you think it's on par?
Usually, absolutely,
Interesting.
So what I usually do is, you know, if you're using, say, Botox, and you're like, oh, I feel like it's not working as well for me as it used to, I say, let's try one of the other ones.
So you don't have a preference, Botox or Dysport, across the board?
We use more Dysport than anything else.
I'm hearing that more and more lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I.
That's what I did most recently, and I haven't done it since it, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. I feel like When did it come out? Like,
probably it came out like a couple years after Botox.
Yeah,
it's just, it's a smaller company.
Yeah, I guess I
never
tried it
really
once.
Got that like household name.
It's not. It's Pepsi, not Coke.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, but it's so hard to tell. It's like, but I know. I feel like providers do have preferences.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
I guess I use mostly Botox mm-hmm. for a really long time, yeah. and. It kind of became, you know, I didn't want to bother to be like, why should I use the other one? Like, if yeah. you're happy,
Same.
Then you stick with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
But then we started switching more people over because they weren't feeling satisfied. I don't know if there's some kind of resistance. You know, we don't really understand what happens if somebody, like, seems to be resistant to
yeah.
it.
Uh-huh.
We don't know if truly there's, like, some sort of antibody.
Uh-huh.
Like, some people are saying that the COVID and the COVID vaccine are making people more resistant.
Whoa.
But, no, we don't have any evidence.
Yeah, I know. I think the COVID vaccine has, like, been, like, the scapegoat for, like,
oh,
every
yeah.
ailment, right?
It's like, whatever's wrong with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, whatever's
must be that.
Wrong with you.
Can't be me.
It can't be, yeah.
So, I don't know. I started converting more people, and then I seemed like more people were preferring it. So
yeah.
then, you know, I started using it more, and then I started recommending it for starters.
It's
and
interesting. Yeah, no, I like it all. I haven't tried that newer one, but I heard
think
there was
one
a newer
of the
one.
Reasons that Dysport may seem like it's lasting longer for some people is that originally when Dysport was, they had it in Europe before we had it,
mm-hmm.
and their original FDA trial, they treated the glabella, the
mm-hmm.
frown muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Botox amount that was used in their trial was 20 units.
Mm-hmm.
And with Dysport, it was 50 units.
Oh, wow.
So when we first got it, we were like, okay, so you're saying the translation is like 2.5
uh-huh.
units of Dysport
uh-huh.
is equal to one Botox
yeah.
unit. And they're like, yeah, that's what we're saying.
Uh-huh.
So when we were using it that way, first of all, it's hard to do that. Like, we had already learned this, like, Botox
yeah.
language, right?
Yeah.
Like, I look at you and I'm like, you need 40 units.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like
now.
And then if I want to think about Dysport, I'm like, oh, 40 units, that's like, you know, times 2.5.
Yeah.
So
yes,
we were just kind of, it's easier if
yeah.
we just say 3 units is
yeah.
the same as one
yeah.
unit. But it's probably 3 units is probably a little bit more than 1 unit of Botox.
Yeah. yeah.
So most people
the
do
conversion.
That 3-to-1
yeah.
conversion.
Okay.
Daxxify is like 2 units of Daxxify is like one Botox. So it's very confusing.
Oh,
like
yeah.
in the office
yeah,
day
yeah,
to
yeah.
day, I'm like, okay, we need this many units, and they're in like this
like
much
kilometers
volume,
to miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
have to do a lot
yeah.
of math
yeah. Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
day. So.
Okay. Interesting. I was going to ask about the PRP with the microneedling. Do you
oh,
love
yeah.
that? Is that
love.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you suggest?
Well, I love PRP in general.
Yeah.
Not just with microneedling.
Okay.
I actually like it more with Cool Peel, and
oh.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've
But you inject it. Are you putting it topically?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, when you inject it, it's the same, no
okay.
matter what.
It's when they draw your blood, Connie, and they spin it, the plasma, and then they put it back in.
That seems...
like that totally makes sense the way you described
yeah.
it.
I think it does.
So we draw your blood.
Yeah.
And we harness when you spin it, all the heaviest elements of your blood go to the bottom of the tube, and that's your red blood cells and your white blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
And then the platelets are suspended in the plasma, which plasma is basically just like the liquid part of your blood,
mm-hmm.
right? And platelets are the cells that come to the rescue when there's an injury anywhere in your body. Like I have injured my liver or having
yeah.
a drink or
yeah.
I had a heart attack
yeah.
or I have an accident of some kind
uh-huh.
or my skin is injured.
Uh-huh.
So the platelets come and secrete all these growth factors and other, kind of messenger signals to your tissues to heal, right?
Okay.
So we're basically, they first started doing this in orthopedics where they're taking PRP and putting it into joints. And
is it like stem cells or not?
Stimulate different than stem cells are actually cells and they're
Got
from
it.
A human.
Yeah.
You can, we all have stem cells, but they're in our bone marrow.
Uh-huh.
And also there's some in the fat, but it's hard to get stem cells out of your own
yeah.
bone
yeah.
marrow.
Yeah.
That's like a whole big
yeah.
ordeal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you want to use somebody else's stem cells, like, for example, if you have a stem cell transplant, you have to suppress your immune system so you don't reject the stem cells.
Yeah.
Now, there are, like, undifferentiated stem cells that you can get from, like, an umbilical cord That's what I'm thinking. This is stuff that is not FDA approved. Mm-hmm. And there have been a lot of incidences where there are companies that say, oh, this is stem cells, mm-hmm. but it's not.
Yeah.
Or it's contaminated. Like, you shouldn't take something that you buy from a company that's not FDA approved and inject it into your joints.
No.
So there was a whole thing with a company that made a stem cell. They were injecting it into joints. People got infected and they died.
Oh my God.
So bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Wait, your brother did stem cell therapy.
Yeah. But a lot of people do it. Is that? It's probably not FDA approved.
Okay.
With a doctor, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with their own stem cells or?
No idea.
Oh.
Anyway.
Didn't ask.
I do know a orthopedic surgeon who harvests the stem cells from your bone marrow, which, you know, you have to be a little sedated.
Oof.
And but then what are you hoping to get out of
the
it?
Area. Well, this would be for if you have like a joint injury.
Okay, got it.
For like bad arthritis.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah. But so the PRP, you're saying orthopedics used the PRP.
I'm
in
saying
joints.
That we, yes, exactly. Because
okay.
PRP is easier to obtain than stem cells.
Yeah.
So because we can just
similar,
draw your blood and make it in the lab.
Different,
so,
but like similar in concept.
Yeah. So we started using it for skin rejuvenation, also for hair rejuvenation for people whose hair is thinning.
Yeah.
So it helps to stimulate hair growth because we're basically we're harnessing the cells that release the growth factors and putting it like right where we want
it. Yeah.
So we put it into the skin through injection. Mm-hmm. And then if you're doing something that's making holes in the skin, microneedling or like a cool peel or Fraxel, you can apply it on top and it absorbs into those little injuries and it speeds up the healing process.
Yeah.
And then it kind of amplifies the outcome.
Do you think it makes more of a difference topically or like when you inject it?
I think both.
Okay.
However, I think if you use it just topically, I think it's going to speed up the healing process, but you're probably not going to get as much benefit for like stimulating collagen.
Yeah.
When we inject it, we're usually sort of simulating a type of procedure called subcision where we're trying to stretch and lift the skin. So picture like an acne scar, right?
Yeah.
It's depressed.
Yeah.
It's kind of bound down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We used to just go under acne scars and take a sharp tool and like rough it up to try to stimulate like a new scarring.
Uh-huh.
Now you do it with PRP.
Oh.
You could do it with saline. You can inject saline. I do this a lot for scars where we just, you know, it's cheap. Like inject saline.
Yeah.
It helps to lift the scar.
From underneath.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And you have to do it multiple times.
Of
it's
course.
Not like an
of
instant
course.
Gratification.
Yeah.
But if you do it with PRP, and there was a split face study with acne scars where they injected saline on one side.
Versus PRP.
PRP on the other side. And the PRP, they just did injections.
Yeah.
And the PRP side had a better outcome.
Oh, interesting.
In improvement of the scars.
So fascinating.
So it's like we're lifting the scars, we're sort of stretching the skin, which is telling the skin cells, hey, there's like something going on here, like come and fix something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're feeding those like growth factors into the exact spot where
we've got to get
them.
The acne under control before I can deal with any of this.
Acne? You?
Yeah, I have horrible. Yeah. I'm always breaking out.
That's so interesting.
Well,
I don't
have
feel
lots
like
of medication for that too.
Yeah,
there we go.
She's got all the answers. What is on your list of questions, or did we kind of go like way deeper?
I'm
than?
Just it's a lot of information. I'm so overwhelmed.
She's never gone this deep.
Because I don't know what any of this is. So I'm like, what?
It's
do people do all this?
Yeah, it's
and
all.
That's why you know all this stuff is out there.
Yeah.
And people hear it and they're like, I want that. I want that. I don't know what I want. My friend had this. I don't know.
I just brought a bag of random shit and I just wanted to tell you to look at it and be like, this works. This doesn't.
It's probably all the same.
It
might be.
Show us. Show us.
But that's why, you know, we want you to come in.
I'm coming in.
And
don't worry.
I can
this is our
sit
first
down,
thing. You and I are going to be fast
we
friends.
Can custom.
You just
thank you.
You just can't text her and
I'm
like ask her random
you.
Questions.
Text me a blurry picture.
Let's start with this.
Proactive.
You've been using that forever.
It's the only thing that gets rid of, like, the cystic acne when it pops up.
You know, Proactive was one of the first kind of doctor-formulated skincare.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I feel like
you know,
it works.
These women are brilliant. Because you know what they did?
Rodin and Fields
they
or whatever?
They took the stuff that was already in all the drugstore products.
Yeah.
And they put it in a system so you understand how to use it properly.
Yeah.
Because I think before everybody was like, oh, Clearasil and this and Neutrogena and just putting stuff on and just irritating the heck out of their skin.
Yeah.
And what they did was they basically, it's the same ingredients that's in all they the other stuff.
It. Yeah.
And they created, they basically educated you on how to use it. I don't know. I mean, now they make all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, but the basic.
I think this is for old people. There's like a younger one too.
Oh.
But yeah. Okay. These are all Instagram buys. I don't use any of them.
Okay.
Don't judge
me. Oh, yeah. So this is like a nice moisturizer.
That's the one I just use on my neck and chest now because I'm like, and
unfortunately, I can't read this.
They make that because I'm that lip balm that mm-hmm. I love.
I had a banner year of age-related vision loss at age 48. Yeah,
my husband just got readers, and he's like, I can see again.
Bert,
I'm like, whoa. God.
Yeah. Oh,
this is a Korean company, I think? Yeah.
No, this is I mean, it's a nice moisturizer. I can't read the ingredients.
Here, let me say.
Can you see that?
Good morning, Glow.
I can put my glasses on. Well,
I can read it, but I can't pronounce it.
I was just
going to
say, can you even pronounce it? It's probably super long.
Bonjour. Bonjour. It's Amoprasific. Oh, that's who made it. Never mind.
Oh, right.
It's made in Korea.
Yeah, no, that it's a nice.
I don't think it doesn't say anything on here for. Don't worry, you're not missing
toxic.
Anything.
I don't think chemicals. There's anything like particularly it's special fine. About that
yeah.
product. But
yeah,
what
like,
a great name!
A moisturizer
kind of thing. Like if you like the way it feels on your skin,
yeah.
great.
Go for
use
it.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I mostly care about the active ingredients that you're using. So if you came to me with your rosacea and I'm like, here's what I'm prescribing you. Use that, and then if you like this or this or whatever else, like use those things with it.
What is that?
I don't know this one.
That's from Hotel Bel Air.
Okay,
that was $800.
Oh, this brand I know. They give me this every time I go.
But smell it. Put it on your hand
strange.
And smell it.
It's $800.
La Lixia.
No,
yeah, it is.
Do you use it?
Never. I should just use it on like parts of my body that I don't care about.
This is probably. I mean,
I'm dead. Wow. What is the brand? That's the brand.
La Lixia. Oh,
I think actually, I'm sorry. I think it was like six.
Wow.
No, Valmont. Valmont? Do you
put
know
it
that
on your hand. It smells great.
Brand.
It feels good too.
Oh, that's lovely. I mean, this
is
like
it's like a gold. This
I would hope so.
This is like a typical like French product.
Yeah.
They love the fragrance and the fancy label.
Yeah.
And
I
love a lot of the French brands like La Roche-Posay and Avène.
It
like,
it's so
good
accessible
though?
Too to everyone.
Yes.
I don't know what it does.
So,
but boy, it smells good.
I just don't. I can't justify like why
the
why
money.
Does that
well,
much.
Back to sorry.
Unless you stayed at the Hotel Bel Air and you're like, I want to have a memory.
Yeah.
Well, I have the memory now. We're discussing, and I don't use it.
I'll use it.
It looks
divine.
Nice on your. It's an accessory.
It is pretty.
It is.
Yeah. But back to the medical grade really quick.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to close that loop. Did you say that you feel like those products are typically better like ingredients or not necessarily?
Well, they're ingredients that have some sort of science behind them.
Okay.
So like we know that they're effective. It's
and they're
not
usually,
just like something that I'm saying is a proprietary peptide that I don't have a clinical study to back up.
And I find that oftentimes they're not nearly as expensive as some of these other brands that are.
Right. Yeah.
So
it's
would
marketing.
Would you say that yours is medical grade or
I
you don't
mean,
like that term?
It's all marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you want to say that medical grade is something that, you know,
formed
we
by
know
dermatologist.
It produces results
that
are desirable for what we're trying to achieve based
on
the ingredients that we decided to put in the product, then yes.
But you think that term is sort of...
I think a lot of people use it and it doesn't have a real definition.
Got it.
It's
so,
like marijuana, medical grade marijuana, same as real. This expired, so I won't be using
that. What is that?
Gleamin. Vitamin C.
Oh,
it's a mask to get rid of scars.
Here's the problem with vitamin C in a jar.
Yeah, it's going to
oxidize. That...
Well, it's already expired. Let's see.
Okay. like I can't even
I love
it.
The smell of that.
It vitamin C oxidizes when it's exposed to air. So it should always be in like
but
an airless.
You're saying like, "Oh, it's fine, still use it." That's what SkinCeuticals will say. Yeah, no.
Let's take them down. Just kidding.
Oh, I like this brand.
Oh, yeah.
I like,
well, I'm not sure that's
is it
what it is.
Color?
Not sure.
I mean, it might have been. Yeah, then you can't tell if it's bad. Yeah. If it's always orange, then.
And then I have two more.
Wait, what is this?
So I like this.
That was something my old derm recommended for my eyes.
This is a very popular, you know, they market to dermatologists. Mm-hmm. They have data to back up that. I mean, we know that alpha and beta hydroxy acids have efficacy in like skin rejuvenation, treating acne, treating, you know,
what is this brand?
Issues. Glytone.
Okay. Do you like it? Use
and
it? No.
I mean, this is an eye cream, so it's probably like a really, really low potency polyhydroxy acid. Yeah. No, that's that one I like. Oh, this one I like too.
That
I
mean, one feels so good on your skin. It's stupid.
Yeah. So Elta also.
I like Elta. I like all Elta.
Yeah. They created their
light,
products
right?
to.
Elta is so light. Yeah.
To kind of bring like a cosmetically elegant. I mean, sunscreen was like their primary thing.
Yeah.
And in general, people used to hate sunscreen just
because
they were all gross.
Yes.
Well, they were sticky and it felt weird to put makeup on top of it. But Elta is the only one. Well, that's not sunscreen.
So now Elta has kind of created a whole line of products to kind of go with their sunscreens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, we have our core four.
Yeah.
You know, if I want
use. This is the core. So what is the fourth of the core?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the lip jelly.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the core four?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay, love it.
That's
love
the kind of for everybody
and do
set.
Do you believe in tinted sunscreen or do you think it should be separate?
I like tinted sunscreen.
Okay.
I mean, it's a personal preference.
Yeah. Okay.
However, we do suggest using tinted sunscreen in people who have pigment disorders like melasma or inflammatory hyperpigmentation.
Okay.
Because the iron oxide actually gives you a little bit more light protection.
Oh.
And that's also been proven scientifically.
And that's only in the tinted ones.
It's the iron oxide. It basically makes it brown.
Fascinating.
So, yeah.
Do you make a night cream? Because you said.
Actually, I had a conversation this morning with a patient who's 82.
Uh-huh.
And she has great skin.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And I was like, oh, do you hate the sun? Because a lot of people who have beautiful skin when they're 80-something
and
have never had anything done, it's because they hate the sun.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, no, I just, I used to wear like that pancake makeup all the time. And I think that makeup
it's like a shield.
Has
it's a
titanium
shield.
In it. It has iron oxide.
Yeah.
So she was kind of wearing sun protection this whole
fascinating.
Time.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Wait, so do you make a night cream? I know you were talking about extra hydration.
Not yet.
But so if you were going to do that, you would do your hydrator with the...
just do like a layering.
Got it. And then do you do an eye cream yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
I have a thing about eye creams.
Yeah.
And we'll probably make one because everybody wants something that says eye cream.
Are they bullshit?
But they're the same thing.
I just had...
Do you feel like this?
Well,
I mean, they're similar.
Yeah, it just says eye cream on the label.
In a smaller bottle and more expensive, probably.
It's the same.
Yeah.
It's usually the same stuff.
Sometimes when I'm putting it on, I'm like, okay.
I've never put
know.
It on.
I'm always like, when people ask me what eye cream should I use, my sort of, what we've done with our products, and this is all, like on our Instagram page and everywhere, is sort of like, oh, you need like a treatment for your KP on your arms.
Yeah.
You could use like the buzz mask, or you could use, we have an acne serum that has like alpha and beta hydroxy acids called Clear.
Uh-huh.
Use that and then use like the Do You with it.
Do you feel the same thing about like a neck cream specifically for neck?
Does it need to say neck cream on the label?
It makes me want to use it on my neck.
I actually presented this in my talk about neck rejuvenation to my colleagues. And I'm like, okay, look, here's a neck cream that's marketed to dermatologists. I won't say the name. But I calculated, and it's like $90 an ounce. And it has all this like
jargon.
Like flower this and, you know, goldenrod.
Why wouldn't that work on your face?
I'm like, what does that do?
Yeah.
Like, what are all these ingredients are things I've never heard of. And I'm like, here's something. There's actually a skincare product called Dermend.
Uh-huh.
And it's marketed. They have terrible marketing because it's marketed for elderly people with fragile, easily bruised skin. But you know what? It's really good.
Yeah.
All my elderly patients who have all that bruising on their arms, they use it. It has retinol and glycolic and all the stuff we know to be effective.
Yeah.
And you can buy it on Amazon for like
$18.
But it's not necessarily for that.
No.
Like, yeah, exactly.
But that company should be like, this is a neck cream.
Yeah. That's so fascinating. I know, and I buy into it every time.
And people would buy
specifically for my neck?
Do you really?
I have a neck cream that I use.
I actually like the De-Stress is my hack for an eye cream, is one drop of De-Stress mixed with one drop of Do You. Mm-hmm. And you just need like one drop. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of dab that on your upper and lower eyelids.
I love it.
What were you going to ask her about the hero stickers? Acne stickers? What do you think about those?
Oh, I love those.
They're the
best. Me too.
Love
these.
They're the best.
Yeah.
Not the medicated ones. These are the non-medicated. Yeah, just hydrocolloid.
What's the difference?
They have the
salicylic acid?
Pinpoint ones.
Yeah, some of them have
those are harsh.
Wait. Spikes. And
oh, the spikes. But this has the salicylic acid?
No.
Oh.
This is literally just hydrocolloid.
Yeah.
Which is like a wound care product.
Yeah. The Invisible are like that, too.
This stuff used to be, well, there's something called Duoderm, and it used to be by prescription, stupid expensive.
Yeah.
We would put it on people with, like, poorly healing, like, leg ulcers, and people with, like, bad circulation.
Yeah.
All these,
you'd
like,
need, like, 100.
Yeah.
But the point is that now, like, this, you can buy this hydrocolloid, and it's so great
you
for
you wake up the next day, and it's flat.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. But I also use the Peace Out ones, and I think those have salicylic acid in them. Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's necessary.
You don't need it. You think this is
teenagers.
What's really doing it.
Yes.
These are the best
yes.
I've found.
I agree, because this brand makes a salicylic, is that salicylic?
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Salicylic.
Salicylic.
Yeah.
pen. And I feel like that does nothing. It's those.
Yeah.
It's these, the original, and the Invisible for daytime.
But the pokey ones you don't need. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
What is that doing?
I mean, sometimes that just, like, causes more dryness and irritation.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of people love to spot treat their pimple, and then it turns into a big dry scab.
Yeah, you're like, great. I just treated.
And then it, you know, it takes forever to heal. And
take it off when it turns white. How gross.
So this.
Yeah, because it pulls it all out.
It really
this
does.
This also protects it from the sun.
Yeah.
Protects it
from
you touching
fingers.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
what helps me
because
I will
picking is the biggest problem.
What
honestly,
exactly? You don't pick, but what is the white? Is it actually pulling out fluid?
Not exactly. The hydrocolloid.
I wish it was.
I know. I feel like it is. Yeah.
When it comes in contact with moisture or so, like if there's some, you know, pus or whatever is in your wound or your pimple. That moisture causes the hydrocolloid to make that kind of mushy consistency.
But it's like so healing.
But it keeps the wound
works
more dry and protected.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, because so in essence, if you had like a wound or something, not that size, it's too small, but that would also help a wound.
Yeah,
so
I love this for if I shave off like a little like growth on the nose or something. I'm like, use this for a Band-Aid.
Oh God,
because people don't want to put
so
a Band-Aid
much better.
Because
everyone's like, what happened?
But
to
also
your face?
Probably helps it heal more.
Yeah,
genius.
Yeah, and it stays
so
on.
So what you're saying is, I'm like a bootleg derm with my Instagram buys.
Yeah, that's exactly what she's saying.
Basically.
Until next time when you just burn this stuff off me.
I can't wait.
Oh, and my eye. Look at my eye, too.
What is the eye?
Oh, yeah. So that looks like a little cherry angioma.
How do you
is
get that off?
Forever?
Yeah, we can burn that off.
Yeah.
We just take a little like electric needle and zap it.
Yeah.
You can get rid of that?
Yeah.
Can you get rid of this?
What, the scar? But that's the scar from where you had that thing removed.
Papa John carved it
out. We could laser that because it's a little bit red.
Was Papa John a derm?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of my doctors said I could bleach it. And I was like, that doesn't seem right.
No, I think we could laser it.
Yeah.
When we laser all your rosacea, we laser
Yeah,
that
when
too.
You become a new person.
Yeah.
All right, I'm like so happy you came on. You were like, I mean, I don't want to offend any other guests we've had, but I'm so happy that you're here.
Thank you.
I'm just psyched because so much information, so much good information.
No, I could do this every day.
We'll do this every day. We'll definitely invite you back. Hopefully, you will accept.
Oh, after you do all my treatments,
your
product, and I'll come.
We're gonna have a before and after.
Oh my God! Yeah. And then I won't wear makeup.
Yes.
Your
It'll
products
be like my
are
coming
out. Beautiful. I love the packaging. I love the way they feel. Thank you so much for bringing these.
I know,
we're going to be using them. And talking about them.
I'm going to start today.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Don't worry about it.